All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping. Whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation, that is the meal that I stick with. And you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Wrecker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Wrecker5, mountain-state-survival.com.
This show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindicta Show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindicta Show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to me today. This is American Vindicta. I got my coffee ready. I got my Bible out. I got the news pulled up. Let me know if you like this new style of reading the news and sharing some scripture with you. I think right now is a very important time to be making sure that we are doing both, but we are giving more weight to one than we are the other. We're going to go over the daily situational awareness report from Forward Observer. If you are not subscribed to Forward Observer, I suggest that you do subscribe. It's $10 a month. They don't pay me to say that. I just believe those guys are that good at what they do. All right, here we go. What's inside the Beltway? What's happening at the White House? President Biden is expected to reveal his proposed budget during a trip to Philadelphia on March 9th. Their analyst comment says that the White House will be a what-if document telling voters what the federal government would do if Democrats were in control of Congress, including trimming the deficit by $2 trillion over 10 years, boosting Medicare funding, and raise the investment income tax created by the Affordable Care Act. So, empty promises and bad dreams. Congress. What's happening over there at Congress? The House Select Intelligence Committee is scheduled to hold a closed markup of H.R. 1376, the COVID-19 Origins Act of 2023, which would require the Director of National Intelligence to declassify information related to the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. The House Ways and Means Committee is scheduled to hold a field hearing on the state of the U.S. economy in the heartland. The Energy Department update to the ODNI report on COVID origins caused a renewed push for an investigation and tomorrow is going to hold its first hearing and testimony from Trump-era CDC Director Robert Redfield, who was one of the early prominent voices for the lab leak hypothesis. Taiwan's president convinces Majority Leader McCarthy to meet in California. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen are expected to meet in California in early April, announced earlier this year. A senior Taiwanese official said that the shared intelligence with McCarthy about the Chinese Communist Party and the threat that they pose. Tsai is expected to visit California and New York in April as part of a trip to Central America and will speak at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Southern California. Republicans prepare massive energy policy push. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and House Republicans are preparing as many as 20 bills for a large legislative energy package that will introduce by the end of March. The package includes bills boosting oil production on federal land, removing President Biden's block on the Keystone XL pipeline, easing environmental reviews for energy and mining projects in energy permitting form. So real quick, if they actually do have the ability to get the XL pipeline back on track, not only is that going to create jobs, it's going to alleviate stress upon families, but it'll also make sure that we are now the producers of our own oil once again, which should hopefully drop the prices in your groceries and at the gas pump. However, the environmental extremists in Antifa will target that pipeline. Some way, somehow, they'll try to blow it up, take it apart. Protests will happen. They'll stand in the way. They'll probably do the Chinese finger dragging to each other where they link arms. And if you've never seen that, I've only seen it done, I think, at one protest. And they'll have a pipe. It's ingeniously stupid. They'll have like a PVC pipe or a metal pipe. And one person will have their hand handcuffed. And they'll stick their hand in that handcuff into the pipe. And then the other person, that's the sleeping dragon, excuse me. And then the other person will stick their hand through the other side of the pipe and handcuff themselves together to the other person.
So the only way that law enforcement can then remove these people is by cutting through the pipes. I mean, if we cut through a few hands and wrists, you know, that would probably teach them, but kinder, gentler society. I say at this point in time, because it is Antifa, that if they do decide to do the sleeping dragon, then, gentlemen, take your batons and practice. It's right there in front of you. Remember, soft techniques and hard techniques don't strike for the head, don't strike for the center of the chest, and don't strike for the groin, but the attacking limbs, right? Expect it. It's going to happen, all right? Democrat think tank warns about third-party run. D.C.-based public policy think tank Third Way warned that a unity ticket pushed by the political organization No Labels would act as a spoiler and allow former President Donald Trump to win in 2024. No Labels raised $46 million last year to fund its third-party ticket and put hundreds of petition circulators on the ground in crucial swing states that broke for Biden by only a few points. A national Democratic strategist said that Democrats are considering how to avoid a nightmare scenario, but no one knows how concrete the No Label ticket is. I think if there's going to be a third party, it's going to be Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley will probably run as an independent. She'll run against Trump, but she could run independent. Very likely that she'll be Republican. But then the other one, what's her name? Cruella DeVille, the one that nobody likes. Her name will come to me. She's the Democrat that went to the Republican side. Now she's a conservative all of a sudden. If she runs for president, she'll probably be independent. So be looking out for that. Biden flip-flops on D.C. sentencing repeal. The Senate is expected to vote on House Joint Resolution 26, which will reverse a D.C. criminal code revision that eliminated mandatory minimum sentences and reduced maximum sentences for some violent crimes. Senate aides said they expect more than 70 senators to vote for the bill overturning the D.C. law, and in a reversal, President Biden said he would sign the bill if it made it to his desk. So the Democrats are reading the room on rising crime, and they see that reducing sentences for violent crimes is actually an electoral loser. The D.C. Council tried to withdraw the bill, but there is no mechanism under the Home Rule Act for canceling the bill, and Democrats will be forced to vote on it. Remember just a few years ago, these people were bailing out violent offenders. They were releasing violent offenders during COVID because we want to protect them. But and what did these people do when they got released from prison? Robbed, raped, pillaged, murdered, abused, aggravated assault, arrested again for felonious charges. They went and joined Antifa and carried out domestic terrorism. Hey, Kratz, we know what you're about, and we want nothing to do with it. All right, trade worker shortage threatens national offshore wind farm. I don't really know that I care about it, but we'll go over it. The National Renewable Energy Laboratory is concerned that a shortage of trade workers will cause the nation to miss its goal for 30 gigawatts of offshore wind energy capacity by 2030. Proposed solutions to the problem include beefing up apprenticeships and hiring from other offshore industries, such as offshore drilling. Offshore drilling and anything that's offshore pays a lot of money. But you know why? You probably don't have the skills and the labor to put forth apprenticeships for these much needed jobs. And I don't care if, honestly, if the offshore wind farm thing works or not. If Americans are getting jobs and they're being proactive and doing things with their hands and learning and not out doing drugs and abusing their spouses and all that other stuff, well, hey, that's kind of a win, right? You're getting paid to do a job. But they're missing the apprenticeships because kids nowadays don't want to work. They don't want to work. They want everything handed to them. They tell you this in the protests. That's their communistic view. They want all your money to be put in a centralized bank so that it can be just dispersed to all them because they worked for it, right? These kids know so much. And it's not just the kids. Okay, you got grown adults who believe that, and those grown adults can't get these jobs because they haven't applied themselves. But they could tell you what pronoun you should probably use. They could probably go to a city council and infer all the different places where a third gender, you know, bathroom should be installed. They can contribute to nothing that society needs. That's a small majority of people in America. It's not the vast majority. It is a small majority of people in America that have become completely null and void to society because of politics, racial identity, whatever you want to call this transsexual movement, reprobatism. All right, let's continue. Working on joint munitions program. Hey, do you remember the podcast yesterday where we talked about all the different 155 millimeter artillery rounds that were missing? That's going to take like 5 years to replace. God forbid we get invaded, right? Let's hear about some news on that. The European Union is planning to move into joint procurement of ammunition to help Ukraine. And also replenish member states' artillery ammunition stockpiles. Boy, you better start doing that. You better, because your ass is going to get handed to you by Russia. You're the first one Russia is going to step on. Did it to yourself. This week, the EU defense ministers will discuss plans to speed up the supply of 150-millimeter ammunition to Ukraine and to order more munitions to backfill previous shipments to Ukraine. Defense officials hope to use economies of scale to increase production together. Like, what about your own military? If Ukraine cannot help themselves against Russia right now, with half the world throwing them munitions, come on, man. In the words of Joe Biden, like, you're going to break the budget of your country and you're going to completely castrate your military by taking away needed ammunition to defend your country, ours as well, by the way, for Ukraine. Zelensky orders Ukraine military to hold Bakhmut. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky reversed course Tuesday and ordered his military to hold Bakhmut, despite earlier reports of withdrawals, including Ukrainian forces blowing bridges as they moved to a new defensive line west of the city. Ukraine's military has now been ordered to make a last stand defense of Bakhmut in an effort to break the Russian military. Ukraine military leaders, as well as senior U.S. defense officials, have repeatedly said that Bakhmut holds no strategic value, making this latest move strictly an effort of attrition at warfare. It is unlikely that Ukraine's military will be able to achieve its aim of breaking Russian forces solely through a defense at Bakhmut. If you look at the map, I'll try and find a map for you, but if you look at the map of where all the Russian and Ukrainian military forces are, they say that Bakhmut isn't like a strategic area, but the consolidation of Ukrainian military forces are all within this one area. So what is in Bakhmut? That's what I would like to know. If it has no strategic need for this amount of attrition, which means people dying. Attrition warfare means men dying. And eventually, either you'll lose too many or I'll lose too many, and one of us has to give up. If it's not needed, then why are we all there? Why is everybody there fighting? That's what I'd like to know. Ship-to-ship transfers of Russian oil continue. So the ship-to-ship STS transfers of Russian oil to very large crude oil carriers called VLCCs are continuing off the coast of Ceuta, a Spanish enclave in North Africa. Spanish authorities warned that local firms of the STS transfers of Russian oil were prohibited, but after a two-week pause, the VLCCs began receiving STS transfers of Russian oil again. 30 million barrels of Russian oil have been moved by STS transfer this year, with Ceuta accounting for 43% and Kalamata off the coast of Greece accounting for most of the rest. So, in Atlanta, let's talk about current protests that are going on. I'm going to throw up a video of the ambush-style attack that happened on the Atlanta PD, I think, yesterday, maybe the day before. Right now, this is the protests that are being expected. So, if you're within the vicinity of Atlanta, Georgia, heads up. Far-left activists allied with Defend the Forest organize a march to expose the supporters of the Atlanta Police Foundation. The march will start at All Saints Episcopal Church and finish at Troy Davis Woodruff Park. That's going to be Tuesday. That's today. Going to start at a church. Far left communist terrorists are gathering at a church. Just honest opinion, if I was the leader of that church, if I was the head pastor, you ain't going to be setting foot at this church in our parking lot. But where are you? Where are you, Christians? Where are you at today with where you stand? Because right now, many of you don't stand. Many of you bow to them. There's a few things. This guy who is he's a pastor at a church. Where is he at? In Austin, Texas. Complaining about CPAC. And it's absolutely bizarre what this guy says. But I want you to listen to this.
If you want to see pulsating evil, if you want to see pulsating evil, hatred, judgment, if you want to see an assault on the gospel message of Jesus Christ, listen to the Christians at CPAC. Who would not have anything to say if they did not have scapegoats. Again, the message of Jesus, I'm not making this up. The message of Jesus is not judge or you'll be judged. It's stop judging and you won't be judged. Like that's the new meme. Listen to this voice from CPAC. There can be no middle way in dealing with transgenderism. It can be all or nothing. A little bit later, he says, and if it's false, that doesn't really exist in biology, then we should not indulge it, especially when that indulgence requires taking away the rights and customs of many people. Not just rights, customs. You can lose your constitutional rights. So these Christian air quotes don't have to change the guidance. And then finally, it says, transgenderism must be eradicated from public life entirely. The whole preposterous ideology at every level. Your LGBTQ neighbors are not an ideology. They're not ideas. They're not an opinion. And it's a lie to say that Christians have a right to oppress other people. And then that's just an opinion. Laws are not opinions. Oppression is not an opinion. No one has a right to oppress another human being. And to do so in the name of Christ simply adds blasphemy to the oppression. What?
Blasphemy. Sir, I believe you just committed blasphemy. But you go woke, you get broke, right? The problem is in the church, if you go woke, you get spiritually broke. And eventually you get turned over to reprobate. And at that point in time, the only one who can help you is God. Though in scripture, God says many times, don't even pray to me. Don't you pray to me. Don't you cry out to me. Don't you make sacrifices to me. The burn of your incense is an offense to me. Don't even look in my direction for help because you turned away from me every time I told you stop sinning, stop committing adultery, stop praying to false gods, stop killing your children at the hands of Baal and Moloch, but you didn't. And because you didn't, judgment comes for you. And God has done that so many different times throughout the Old Testament that you would think that a pastor would have opened up his book and read it and went, my Lord, are you speaking of me and my apostate church that I'm in now? See, I said this a couple of podcasts ago. Be careful what church you go to. There are many Christian, as he says, air quote, Christian churches that are completely apostate.
So many things I want to say, but I'm not going to. And try and keep this as family friendly as possible. All right, so let's move on to some other news. Two Ukrainian pilots are in the United States right now, and they are here for training on their assessments on how they pilot an attack aircraft, to include the American-made F-16. So it's reported that two Ukrainian pilots have arrived at a military base in the United States so that American instructors could evaluate their skills. The goal is to understand whether pilots from Ukraine will be able to start learning how to fly attack aircraft, including F-16 fighters. And this is being reported now on NBC, citing two congressmen and a high-ranking American official. Do you know why that's such a stupid idea? It's because they're not here testing the aircraft if they're not going to be using the aircraft. And Joe Biden said that we'd be giving them planes and tanks. And tanks are being made. Planes are coming. You know why that's such a bad idea? Because this has nothing to do with de-escalation. This will be an escalation into a conflict with Russia. And if we continue to send war-fighting machines to Ukraine to be used against Russians, and it kills Russians, well, guess what we kind of are now? We're in war. And it was Biden himself, and I'll show the clip of it. It was Biden himself who said that if you send planes and tanks to Ukraine, that's World War III. World War III, gents. It's here. It's alive. All right, next. Russia and Iran have a secret nuclear deal that would allow uranium transfers to Tehran's illicit weapons program. Amid the Internal Atomic Energy Agency's disclosure this week that the Islamic Republic of Iran accumulated near weapons-grade enriched uranium for its alleged nuclear weapon program, Fox News Digital has now learned that Iran has allegedly secured secret deals with Russia to guarantee deliveries of uranium. And what could be a major setback to a new Iran nuclear deal? Foreign intelligence services, speaking on the condition of anonymity, and who are familiar with the negotiations between Moscow and Tehran over Iran's reported illegal nuclear weapons work, has told Fox News Digital that the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, agreed to return enriched uranium that it received from Iran if a prospective atomic deal collapses. The State Department would neither confirm nor deny the reports. All right, so once again, I'm going to bring up Operation Nitro Zeus. There may come a day when Israel says, listen, if you don't take care of Iran and their nuclear enrichment, uranium enrichment centers, so their centrifuges, we are going to bomb the hell out of them. Because they said they have enough uranium and enough nuclear material to make a nuclear warhead to destroy Israel with. And we can't allow that to happen. So, America, we're calling the cards. Are you in or are you out? And because Russia stands with Iran, and because we, for whatever reason, permanently stand against Russia, I wish we could just set aside our differences and just work together, right? So that we don't kill each other. But since common sense isn't going to happen, there was an operation that was created called Nitro Zeus. Nitro Zeus, when it was briefed to Congress, had a 80% fatality rate for all of our soldiers that'll be involved. And I believe this is primarily an Army operation, mainly special operations. So your special forces, your CAG group guys, that's your kinetic action group, that's Delta Force. You're going to have Rangers. Air Force will be doing carpet bombs, softening up the approach for an inevitable spearhead-like thrust into Tehran. 80% forces will be lost. Pray that doesn't happen, because we cannot recover from that. And I don't want to see one U.S. military service member killed in the desert sands again. But it'll probably happen. All right, Taiwan. Tehran's frontline troops on Matsu have complained of food shortages. Even wrote it out on the beach. Soldiers from Matsu's Defense Command have made their complaints public about the substandard food rations, writing in the sand on a local beach that meals are canned food with no meat options. Their complaints attracted the attention of legislators, who expressed concern about the lack of fresh food supply, especially during times of escalating cross-strait tensions. Matsu residents also chimed in, noting that the complaints above about the high price of eggs by many Taiwan citizens are nothing new to those living in Matsu, who lack access to most grocery supplies and are accustomed to inflated food prices. Confirmed food shortages are due to rising transport costs, as the number of cargo ships servicing the area have been halved. He appealed, this is the mayor of this township, appealed to the central government for help. You know, guys like me have stressed for a long time to make sure that you have the proper amount of meals for you and your family for a proper amount of time. That time, sadly, is really unknown, but at least a month or two should cover you. At least a month or two. If you want to have 3 months of food, great. If you want to have 6 months of food, better. If you want to have a year's worth of food, perfect. That's awesome. I don't know how you afford it. However, in North Korea, and even back into the American Revolution, when the fighting men did not have food, they were forced to steal. Who'd they steal from? Farmers. Are you going to shoot your own troops who are out there defending you because they don't have food and they don't even have the money to try and buy the food from you? See, the problem was with Washington was that he was only given a limited budget. And Congress, the first Congress, really screwed over the Continental Army just as hard as they could. And he ran out of money and could not pay for it anymore. So he had to go to all these different farms and request that they give him food. And even at times, he had to just take the cattle because it's war. Do you think that could happen now? Let me know in the comment section. Do you think if the military right now ever got to where they didn't have any more MREs, meals ready to eat, and they were defending an outpost or they were in an operation within your area and they didn't have food or couldn't be fed, do you think they would steal the food? Do you think they would come and just take the food and not pay for it? In other countries, that happens. Happens in North Korea every now and then because they don't feed their military. So every now and then, their military is actually forced to go house to house and raid the cabinets of their fellow citizens to feed themselves. Because more or less, I think all they get is a little bit of fish and rice. Conscripted armies never works, ever. George Washington knew that. The first army that we had was conscripted from a prison force. I think it was like the first 400 because he couldn't find any volunteers. A few of them, right? But nobody was getting paid. So nobody's going to go and even, you know, try and fight as a soldier with zero payment. I digress. All right. The U.S. is not ready for the era of great power conflict. It's wrote by Michael R. Gordon from archive.today. This is the Wall Street Journal. Clint Hinote returned from a deployment in Baghdad in the spring of 2018 to a new assignment and a staggering realization. A classified Pentagon war game simulated a Chinese push to take control of the South China Sea. The Air Force officer charged with plotting the service's future learned that China's well-stocked missile force had rained down on the bases and ports of the U.S. had relied upon in the region, turning American combat aircraft and munitions into smoldering ruins in just a matter of days. My response, and this is Clint Hinote saying this, my response was, holy crap, we are going to lose if we fight like this. The officer, now Lieutenant General, began posting yellow sticky notes on the walls of his closet-sized office in the Pentagon, listing the problems to solve and if the military was to have a chance of blunting a potential attack from China. I did not have an idea how to resolve them, Lieutenant General Hinote says. I was struck how quickly China had advanced and how our long-held doctrines about warfare were becoming obsolete. 5 years ago, after decades fighting insurgencies in the Middle East and Central Asia, the U.S. started tackling a new era of great power competition with China and Russia. It isn't yet ready, and there are major obstacles in the way. Despite an annual defense budget that has risen to more than $800 billion, the shift has been delayed by a preoccupation with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the pursuit of big-ticket weapons that didn't pan out, internal U.S. government debates over budgets and disagreement over the urgency of the threat from Beijing, according to current and former U.S. defense officials and commanders. Continuing concerns in the Middle East, especially about Iran and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, have absorbed attention and resources. Corporate consolidation across the American defense industry has left the Pentagon with fewer arms manufacturers. Shipyards are struggling to produce the submarines the Navy says it needs to counter China's large naval fleet. And weapon designers are rushing to catch up with China and Russia in developing super-fast hypersonic missiles. When the Washington think tank for the Center for Strategic and International Studies ran a war game last year that simulated a Chinese amphibious attack on Taiwan, the U.S. side ran out of long-range anti-ship cruise missiles within a week. The military is struggling to meet requirement goals, with Americans turned off by the long conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, potentially leaving the all-volunteer force short of manpower. We talked about this recently. Plans to position more forces within striking range of China are still a work in progress. The Central Intelligence Agency, after two decades of conducting paramilitary operations against insurgents and terrorists, is moving away from these areas to focus more on its core mission of espionage. The U.S. military success in the Mideast and Afghanistan came in part from air superiority. What success? Did I miss something? What success did we have? Anyways, a less well-equipped foe and the ability to control the initiation of the war. A conflict with China would be very difficult. The U.S. would be fighting with its Asian bases and ports under attack and would need to support its forces over long and potentially vulnerable supply routes. If a conflict with China gave Russia the confidence to take further action in Eastern Europe, then the United States and its allies would need to fight a two-front war. China and Russia are both nuclear powers. Actions could extend to the Arctic, where the U.S. lags behind Russia in icebreakers and ports as Moscow appears ready to welcome Beijing's help in the region. It would not be a two-front war alone. We are not ready for this war. The Pentagon says all the time, we're not ready for it. If we're not ready for it, then why do we keep poking the bear? It wouldn't be a two-front war. You would have war in the Pacific. You'd have war in Europe. Then you'd also have war in Mexico. We're fixing to read an article that's going to talk about that. You'd have war in Mexico because Russia and China control the Mexican drug cartels. And if Russia and China get into a war with the United States outside of CONUS, you better bet your sweet nickel that it will be in CONUS as soon as they can get here because they have to stop the threat. So then that war will be in Europe and in the Pacific, and it'll be in Africa. It'll be in the southern hemisphere, the northern hemisphere. It'll be in space with the satellites. It'll be in cyberspace with cyber attacks, hitting your power lines, hitting your communications. It'll then be inside the country with insurgency attacks. I just spoke about this. The Pentagon is saying it. What are your politicians doing about it? What are your politicians doing about it? Lindsey Graham says he will introduce a bill to set the stage for U.S. to use military force in Mexico. Senator Lindsey Graham on Monday said he was prepared to introduce legislation to set the stage for U.S. military forces in Mexico, saying it was time to get tough on the neighboring country after four Americans were kidnapped by armed men last week. I just watched the video of that, by the way. Do not go to Mexico. There's your advice. Lindsey Graham told Fox News that he would follow the advice of former President Donald Trump on the Mexico policy. Hold on, sweetheart, Lindsey Graham. I thought you didn't like Trump. I thought you said that Trump was a problem. Do you agree with him or do you not agree with him? Or are you such a rhino that your nose, that horn so big on top of your face that you don't know what direction to walk? But when in doubt, start wars, right? Graham said, I would put Mexico on notice. I'm sure you would, sweetheart. After all, you have been saying over the past, couple months, somebody should assassinate Vladimir Putin. Graham said, if you continue to give safe haven to drug cartels, then you are an enemy of the United States. Well, how about this? If we continue to give safe haven to pedophiles and drug cartels and domestic terrorism, then you're an enemy of the United States. And at that rate, half of Congress should be in the penitentiary right now. How many of you are connected to the pedophile island? How many of you in your insider trading have enriched yourselves grossly? How many of you still hold people captive illegally in prison because of January 6th, though they have a constitutional right to be out of there by now? You've denied it to them. How many of you take bribes from the Russian cartels or from the Russian mafia bosses? How many of you take bribes from the Mexican cartels, huh? Or the Chinese lobbyists? Didn't we cover that yesterday? There's at least 30 of you. And then, not just the fact that you have Russia and China, and you also have Mexico on there as a problem, many of you are dual citizens. Many of our congressional electees are dual citizens in different countries. Where are your allegiances? Who are you getting lobbied by? Not we the people. Because we the people don't vote for this. Lindsey Graham, you want to go to war? I'll drive you to the border. You little dandelion of a man. I'll drive you to the border. I'll drop you off in war as myself. Hell, I'll give you a discount on some pistol training. Because you're going to need it. And you can go and try and John Wick your way into Juarez and stop all the cartels. Graham added that he would introduce legislation to make certain Mexican drug cartels foreign terrorist organizations under U.S. law and set the stage to use military force if necessary. Certain Mexican drug cartels? Why not all the Mexican drug cartels? Listen, if we're going to invade Mexico, then just invade Mexico. If you're going to do it right. Invade Mexico, and between the four states that are on the border to 100 miles deep into Mexico, bulldoze everything. Nobody gets to keep their home. No city left standing. Make it a huge demilitarized zone. Line it with freaking mines. Let the predator drones prey over those skies. And then you have two highways into Texas, two highways into New Mexico, two highways into Arizona, and then two highways into California. And then all those little ports of entry get to be canceled. So we get to regain some funding from that. And then you get to consolidate staff into these two entrances in these four states. Put up all your big, pretty screening stations there. Maybe that'll stop the human sex trade trafficking that some of you people in Congress are a part of. The problem with the border, I should know, I've worked there, is that no matter how tall you build the wall, the ladder gets taller. No matter how deep you dig down into the ground, they will tunnel under it, or they'll swim around it, or they'll just fly their planes in. Somebody needs to call out Lindsey Graham before he gets us into a war that we can't get out of, like what's kind of happening right now in Ukraine, right? Let's talk about the WHO. What the WHO is actually proposing. This is from Merrill's COVID newsletter. It's on Substack.com. The World Health Organization is currently developing two international legal instruments intended to increase its authority in managing health emergencies, including pandemics. First, the amendments to the 2005 International Health Regulations, and second, a pandemic treaty termed CA+ by the WHO. The draft and its amendments would lay out new powers for the WHO during health emergencies and broaden the context within which they can be used. Now, the draft or treaty is intended to support the bureaucracy, financing, and governance to underpin the expanded international health regulations. These proposed instruments, as currently drafted, would fundamentally change the relationship between the WHO, its member states, and their populations, promoting a fascist and neo-colonialist approach to healthcare and governance. The documents need to be viewed together and in the far wider context of the globalist pandemic preparedness agendas. So the current rapidly increasing funding for pandemics and health emergencies is based on several fallacies, frequently repeated in white papers and other documents, as well as the mainstream media, as if they're facts. In particular, pandemics are increasing in frequency. Pandemics are causing an increasing health burden, and increased contact between humans and wildlife will promote more pandemics. I'm not going to get any further into this because YouTube will probably shut me down. If you want to take a look at this, Merrill's COVID newsletter, full text is by Dr. David Bell, published by Brownstone and the Epoch Times. All right, let's go back to President Dipshit. President Biden, we're going to ban assault weapons again come hell or high water. President Joe Biden pledged to ban assault weapons again during a Wednesday night address to the House Democratic Caucus Issues Conference, saying he would secure the ban come hell or high water. Biden said, "I know it may make some of you uncomfortable, but that little state above me, Delaware, is one of them, has the highest rate, one of the highest rates of gun ownership. But guess what? We're going to ban assault weapons again, come hell or high water, and high capacity magazines." Well, Biden, you can stick it between the creases, as the Greeks like to say. These people are going to walk us into a war, domestically and internationally. What are you going to do about it? Are you prepared for it? Well, let's get a little bit of reading done, shall we? If you'd like, turn to Jeremiah 3. We're starting where it says, "Faithless Israel called to repentance. The Lord said to me in the days of King Josiah, 'Have you seen what she did, that faithless one, Israel? How she went up on every hill and under every green tree, and there played the whore. I thought, after she has done all this, she will return to me, but she did not return, and her treacherous sisters, Judah, saw it. She saw that for all the adulteries of the faithless one, Israel, I had sent her away with a decree of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister, Judah, did not fear, but she too went and played the whore. Because she took her whoredom lightly, she polluted the land, committing adultery with stone and tree. Yet for all this, her treacherous sister, Judah, did not return to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, declares the Lord. And the Lord said to me, 'Faithless Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt, that you rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among foreigners under every green tree, and that you have not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Return, O faithless children, declares the Lord, for I am your master. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion.'" America, that's you. Return to God. You know, I lament over what is going on these days with America. Go to Anguish Over Judah's Desolation. This will be Jeremiah 4, verse 19. "My anguish, my anguish, and I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Crash follows hard on crash. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are laid waste. My curtains in a moment. How long must I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are wise in doing evil, but how to do good, they know not. I looked on the earth, and behold, it was without form and void. And to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and behold, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and behold, there was no man, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and behold, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. For this earth shall mourn, and the heavens above be dark. For I have spoken, I have proposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back." Excuse me, it says, "I have purposed," I'm not reading my glasses. "I have not relented, nor will I turn back. At the noise of horsemen and archer, every city takes to flight. They enter thickets. They climb among rocks, and all the cities are forsaken, and no man dwells in them. And you, O desolate one, what do you mean that you dress in scarlet, that you adorn yourself with ornaments of gold, that you enlarge your eyes with paint? In vain you beautify yourself. Your lovers despise you. They seek your life. For I heard a cry as of a woman in labor, anguish as of one giving birth to her first child, the cry of the daughter of Zion, gasping for breath, stretching out her hands. Woe is me. I am fainting before murderers." Chapter 5, Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Look and take note. Search her squares to see if you can find a man, one who does justice and seeks truth, that I may pardon her. Though they say, as the Lord lives, yet they swear falsely. O Lord, do not our eyes look for truth. You have struck them down, but they have felt no anguish. You have confused them, but they refuse to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They refuse to repent. America, the apocalypse may be on our doorstep. Repent, turn away from your sinful ways, and hopefully we'll be spared. If not, train, prep, pray, and stay frosty. I'll see you next time. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.